This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Today, we continue with our second part of an interview series about a global educational exchange program called Every Child is Ours. The program works with underdeveloped elementary schools in Mexico, South Africa, and South Dakota on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Jan Pascal talks about how she started the organization. And also we spoke with Zadwa Dlamini, who runs the Every Child is Ours campaign in Johannesburg, South Africa. Jan Pascal is an Arkansan, started the program while working in the Clinton administration. Pascal and Dlamini talk about their educational supplies that they were able to raise and send over to Mexico. And we talk about that trip of them going to Mexico. First, Pascal talks about how Every Child is Ours started in that country.
Well, it started a long time ago when I worked for the federal government. I was fortunate enough to work for President Clinton in the U.S. Department of Education. And they had a flood in Del Rio, Texas, and it really did a lot of damage to schools and homes. And I'm not quite sure why they sent me, but I got to go and kind of fell in love with the area. And I wanted to go over and see the people just right across the border to see how they were making out. Because to be quite honest, our FEMA people were knocking it out of the park. They were doing a great job in getting saving people and making sure everything was done. And that wasn't really happening at that point in Mexico. And I got to go over. I met friends. I met people that are lifetime friends. And we've just always worked together from then on. Acuna and, I've forgotten the name. They literally work together now, the American side and the Mexican side. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of things together. So it's when we are able to go, we want to see both sides because they are certainly partnered. They are working, I think, in harmony, and that's what you want to see. And certainly the children know us in Acuna now. When we go to schools, it's not like we're strangers coming in. It's like we're, It's like we're people that know and love them and take care of them.
Right.
And they feel the same toward us.
Right. Sounds good.
The other part that is I'd like to mention, too, is we were there all those days. We spent nights and everything in Acuna. We never felt at risk. There was absolutely no reason for us to not be comfortable. We were out and about. We never had anything except people being kind to us. I think they're disappointed in some of the things that have been said about their country, about some people in our country. But they are so kind and so welcoming and so loving. They care about us and we care about them right back.
So tell us about how the trip went and when you all left, when you all came back. Kind of tell us about that if you don't mind, please.
Oh, I'd love to. We a bunch of old friends going down to a place where we have more friends to meet. If you're old women, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, you're able to talk about things that have happened and all those miles just, it really didn't seem that long. We drove all the way down from here down to the border. And when you're looking and enjoying and stopping every now and again, it was wonderful. And we just left the beautiful children of Jonesboro. We just barely left doing school visits here. And we arrived there and we start immediately doing the very same thing. And I think if I could tell every one of you one thing, it's that we're more alike than we know and we should remember it. The children are the children are the children. And we need to reach out to all of them. We should make sure that every child has an opportunity. It will help our world and help us in the long run. But the kids we got to see, the ones who already love Jonesboro, and those are the kids who come for Cinco de Mayo. And they came over on Friday night and had dinner with us. And we played this little game. It's like bingo, but with other words that were in Spanish that we didn't really understand. But we had pictures to tell us what it was all about. And all I could think when we were enjoying their company so very much is we just wish we had more exchanges. We wish people had the chance to know each other and in a positive way. And we feel very well taken care of. Traveling is not ever easy to go that far by car. But when you're getting to some place that you love with people you genuinely care about, it's like going home for Christmas. You know, that's what we've considered going to Mexico as.
And Zarwa, how was it for you? Was this your first time going to Mexico, or had you been there before?
I've been there before. So it was like another homecoming.
Right.
As Jen says, you know, we have established great relations, and just being there working with the schools and the children was just fantastic. And it's just beautiful to know how much people, you know, appreciate the efforts as well as the partnership between Every Child Is Ours and Every Child Is Ours on the other side of the border. That for me was just like, wow, because children are children and they're just as beautiful. And for them, it's, you know, just receiving that love and care, it's what makes them happy. And for all of us, it was just beautiful just being there again.
So tell us about what you all were doing while you were there, if you don't mind, please, Zarwa.
We had a lot of school supplies that came from Nettleton School,
mm-hmm.
and also from the ASU women's basketball team.
Yeah,
you know, so we took all that stuff over to the other side. And because the primary school or the elementary school children had also written beautiful letters that they wanted us to share with the kids on the other side. And those were the letters that we shared with them. They read, you know, they were written in English. And but their teachers, together with our partner, Deanna Ramon, interpreted what was written by each and every child. And we're able to distribute the beautiful books and the backpacks that our ASU women's basketball team had, you know, donated. So that is what we did.
What is it like to see their faces?
Wow.
They're beautiful. I mean, when you have a child, think about your own. When you see your own child with love and they're smiling and they're happy, that's the feeling. And, you know, I think the sad part that we're all dealing with now is that we're all worried that, you know, this group is not a good group or that group's not a good group. And I think we've got to think instead about goodness and about genuineness and about the fact that the children that we are going there to see, they already love us. We know them. And they know that we are good people. And I want them to love America. I want everyone to love America. I want our country to be a beacon of hope. That's how I feel about my country, and I hope everybody else does too. And to have them, they don't, the people that we know, they don't want to come here. They want to live in their own country, but they want to have respect and dignity. And I think we give it, and they certainly give it to us. So we're always, I mean, thrilled to have them visit, and we want to have a great relationship. But I think seeing some of the other things, I talked to a Border Patrol man. Is it okay if I tell that story?
Mm-hmm.
I asked him what it was like to do what he does now along the border, and he said it was too hard. He said he's seen too much. It's hard. And what he meant was that seeing children that are being pulled every which way has got to be devastating, and he doesn't know how long he can do it. And I thought about how I would feel if I had a job like that, serving my country, but a job like that. We've got to admire and respect and also in our hearts have sympathy for them too, because they're doing what they're told and sometimes feel really, it's very, very difficult. We saw a mother-to-be, probably about 18 years old, and I would say she was 7 months pregnant, and we saw she was there, I had just gotten into this country. And we saw everybody in Del Rio helping her. getting her food, getting her a bus to where her family member was. And you've got to feel proud of all the people who are stepping up to try to help these people. That young woman was terrified, and they prayed with her, and they made sure she had clothing, and they gave her spending money. I think Americans have good hearts, but we've got to remember our good hearts. We've got to keep saying, wait, this is who we are. We are patriots, but we are strong enough to be decent and to care about people.
I wonder how much that stories like what you're talking about down on the border, and that, and we heard it as a politicized story, you know, very heavily politicized. But I have to wonder how much more of what you saw is reality and what really happens. You know, not to say that, you know, it's not perfect. There are things and situations that happen, obviously. But I wonder if there are more of those kinds of situations that might happen.
I feel sure that if you went with me, any of you, you would not see the way that Mexico along the border is personified. I'm sure if you're out at night looking for trouble, you probably can find it. But I hate to say this, but you can find it in Jonesboro.
Oh, yeah.
You can find trouble if you want to. The reality for me in Mexico is far from that. And it's a matter of a beautiful country where people, there is poverty. But to all of you, there's poverty where I live, and I love the people that come to our food pantry. They are the best you could find, and I think of them as my family. So for me, there is not, I think the danger is exaggerated. If you are doing what you need to do, if you're out, you know, carousing around, you might get in trouble in a border town. If you are there going to church on Sunday morning or visiting your friends or going to schools, chances are you're going to have a very good experience if you go with the right kind of heart. If yeah. you are there because you want to help people and you want to be a part of their culture, I can only tell you it's a beautiful experience. If you feel superior or you're treating someone with malice, you know, you probably get that back. But I've been going all these times, and I've been, I think, in, I don't know, probably almost every school at one time or the other. And we went in a store that had closed on the main street because American tourists are afraid to go anymore. And I wanted to find some more Mexican tile. I love that stuff. And the man had to come down, and there was dust on everything. And he had his business there forever. But the Americans don't go anymore because they've been told they're rapists and murderers and all kinds of people there. And it broke my heart because here was this man with this store that had been closed because of stories talking about people on the other side of the border. And at some point, we've got to find a way to work together. We need to have an ally out of Mexico. Because who knows who we'll come up against. Mexicans have been our friends for a very long time. And I hope we can find ways to we don't want any of the crime, but they had a map up that I saw, a picture up that I saw there in one of the schools, and it had Central America grows it. Mexico lets people come through. They don't let them. They come through on their way to sell it to people here. And all I could think of was the people that I love here who have gotten into substance abuse that I wish so much hadn't. And I don't know the solution to that problem, but being in Mexico makes you think about that and wonder what we can do to make that be solved. I think everybody wishes in their heart of hearts that we didn't have a drug problem in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But Mexico didn't start our drug problem, and we need to work together as a unit to solve it.
As we continue talking about the Mexico trip, I want to talk about maybe, I know that there's a lot of stories you all kind of talked about on the way back. Favorite story from the trip this time? I know there's probably, it'd be hard to probably pick. What's kind of your favorite story? But Zadwa, do you have kind of like a favorite story or two you'd like to share from this recent trip?
I think what my favorite story, one of the favorite stories, was when we're distributing candy. We had bought some candy, and that candy, we're distributing it to the kindergarten kids. And you should have seen how glorious their faces looked and how excited they were. And that for me was like, wow. But what also struck me was when some of the kids, did not get, the candy. And they waited, without any making of noise or rowdiness. But they were just like, okay, our turn is going to come. And that was just glorious. So that was one of my beautiful, favorite stories. Anyway, the very fact that we were just sitting there at the Vega, which is a farm, and alongside the Rio Grande River, and looking across the American side, it was just glorious.
Right. Jan?
Well, my story is one about someone who used to live in Jonesboro, and she was the assistant manager of Dillard's, and now she's the manager of Dillard's over in Memphis. And we were in this school where there were all these first graders and precious children, and we would just hold our arms up and they would just run into our arms, just like exactly like children everywhere do. That's children. But I looked up and Christina was trying to take a selfie of her with some of the children. It was Christina Mooneyhan is her name. And it was so sweet. There were so many kids. They weren't trying to get in the picture. They were trying to hug her. And it didn't, I thought, I wish everybody could see these faces and everybody could feel what we get an opportunity to feel. These little children, we want them to grow up loving our country as well as theirs. And to see her, she couldn't even move for children just all over her. And there is no hatred in a child's heart unless you put it there. And, if you think about what we had the opportunity to do, for some of them, I'm sure we were the first Americans that ever met. And I hope that what they got out of it was that we're all in this world together, and we plan as Americans to work together to try to find successful ways that all of us can survive, and especially give our children the love and the encouragement and the support they need. But you could feel the love in that room.
Now, educational supplies like backpacks and other things were going down there. Y'all were delivering this to Mexico.
Tons of them.
About how many children were served there in Mexico?
I couldn't give you a number, but we had a great deal of stuff from everybody. And the graduate students here at ASU sent stuff the last day, which was wonderful. I think they mailed theirs, actually. Mm-hmm. And we got, we're still having people from New Hampshire that are mailing things. And I just think that there's so many. We'd love to have some of you help us with Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. The reservation is the poorest place in the United States with probably the most beautiful people. And the other thing we want you to know is they have the highest percentage of people who've been in the military. People don't tell you when you think of an Indian reservation that there are flags everywhere. American flags are flying all over those reservations. They are patriotic to the bone. So if you want to help us with that, let us know. We want to do things for Christmas for those children. But as you can see, we love children, period. And we believe that we, as hard as we work, that there's a way we can all serve kids and help each other at the same time. We're all better off if we love each other.
Right. Tell us about what it was like. You all met with the women's basketball team. I know that kind of helped with that. Zadwell, what was it like working with the women's basketball team and seeing kind of their passion for kids and for this organization?
I met them Monday, the 14th, for the first time. I had heard stories from Jane
about
them and their and her partnership, as well as the men's football team, you know, and the, that relationship. But meeting them on that day, on that Monday evening, was just beautiful. And as we're unloading all the stuff, and you know, into our red, what do you call it, big red car, you know, van, it was just beautiful. And I was like, wow, here are beautiful young women, you know, doing something that they probably feel joy about. Because remember, it's their own money that they are also working, and it's their own little contribution to make somebody happy. And I was like, wow, we've got it right here.
Yeah.
Can I brag about Star Taylor?
Sure.
Just for a second. Star Taylor is ASU through and through, and she's also on the board for Every Child Is Ours. And every time we have a need, whether it be at Tuckerman or even in Mexico or South Africa or anywhere else, Star is leading those young women. And every single friend that she's introduced me to on the basketball team, if all of America could be as nice as the girls on that basketball team, we would not have a worry in the world. But Star is a star, and I think all of us are going to be so proud we know her, because I can't imagine what all her future holds. We adore her, and we're grateful to have her on our board.
Very good. We appreciate you coming up, talking about your trip to Mexico with Every Child Is Ours, and that people want more information on how to get involved. What do they need to do, Jan?
Well, they can call Every Child Is Ours, especially on Mondays, because that would be great. We're always, always there. And our telephone number is 870-349-2001. And you can call us anytime there. And our email is just Jan Paschal, JanPaschal, at hotmail.com. And anything you can do to help us. We are in an area that we don't have a lot of stores to turn to. We don't even have a grocery store in Tuckerman anymore. So if you want to help us with our projects, we would be very grateful. And can I say one last
sure,
thing?
Sure, absolutely.
The people at ASU that we have worked with they've gone so far above and beyond. And mm-hmm. I think if the community knows how wonderful all of them have been, they would be very, very proud. It's not just us. We have this army behind us, especially with ASU, people at the faculty, and of course your girls' basketball team. And yes, your football team is loved all over the country because of last year. Can you believe New Hampshire still cheering for the Red Wolves?
That's awesome. Zadwo, anything else you'd like to add, please?
I just want to thank, Dr. Hoag, as well as Dr. Christ, for all the arrangements for me to come, as well as the Vice Chancellor and the Dean, you know, for really partnering with Every Child Is Ours. And because I came here under the baton of Every Child Is Ours, but sharing the stories, but sharing, you know, as you share your story, it's also like giving people an opportunity to do an introspection, as to say how far have we come,
mm-hmm.
and what it is next that we still need to do. And for me, it has been just great that I could come and do that, because I do definitely feel that affinity to the United States, having gotten my master's and my doctorate at the University of Iowa. I'm forever grateful to the people of the United States, and thank you.
Now, I know that you, one question I was thinking of, I know that you run Every Child Is Ours in Johannesburg, South Africa.
In Ghana.
In Ghana, okay. Mm. So let me ask you, when you come to the United States, when you go to Mexico, when you have these kinds of experiences, we're meeting with children, and you're having these in different countries, how does that, as you go back to your home country, and you, does that fire you up? Does it, how does it kind of help you? Does it help recharge your batteries? Or, you know what I'm trying to ask?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it like for you when you go back after experiencing those other things in other countries?
I can all but say I am recharged. But most importantly, sometimes you feel, you know, a sense of humbleness, you know, where you see how much alike we are, irrespective of the geographical locations. And you see the similarities all over. But the most important thing that I felt so, so good today, when, you know, Walmart brought so much food to the food pantry, and I saw these beautiful young women from John 17, who were just helping to unload loads and loads of food that I know by next week it will all be gone. And for me, that those are some of the things that, you know, Jonathan, I'm like, wow. You know, this is what humanity is all about. This is what we talk about when we talk about the human race, and just making sure that one person feels good, one person doesn't go to bed hungry. You know, a small child over there just feel appreciated and feel that they can fly no matter what the circumstances are surrounding them.
Now, there's someone here that's at the radio station that wanted me to ask you this, and I would absolutely be remiss if I didn't ask. Part of what you've done is you have worked in education in your home country. You work with Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. I believe. Tell us, what was that experience like working with Nelson Mandela?
Working with the president, it was never as close as that. But, you know, when you know that your commander-in-chief is that person who had given everything mm-hmm. to ensure that his people have freedom, and somebody who also cherished education to that extent. You know, for me, it was always about ensuring that, you know, we give quality education, but that we redress all the inequalities that existed prior. And it has been, for me, a cornerstone to always ensure that, you know, children cherish education, mm-hmm. no matter where they are, no matter how poor they are. I know, you know, firsthand that education opens doors that you never thought they would ever be open for you.
Jan, what do you think about that?
I think a part of me will always be in South Africa. I think we got to see up close and personal true heroes, mm-hmm. not ones we read about, but current. Mm-hmm. To meet Nelson Mandela, to have an opportunity to see the people that he wanted to fight for and believed mm-hmm. in, you don't forget that. You don't want to forget. It's in your heart. And, you know, I want to tell one quick story about a boy, and I may have told this the other day, I can't remember. But when we were doing those libraries there, they had built the libraries, but there were no books, and the books came from all up in New England. And a boy had a book, only not the boxes they've been carrying, but one book in his arms. And I said, honey, why do you only have one book? And he said, I've never owned a book before.
Wow.
We throw books away. That's why I need all of you to think about helping us get those books to the children. They're as smart as anyone could be, but they do need our help with books and paper and pencil and the same things the kids who are poor here need. So if we could give it to everybody, wouldn't the world be a better place? But I could not encourage you enough to go to South Africa. The beauty there, first of all, is probably one of the prettiest places on earth. And I think the people are the only thing that rival that. The beauty of the people, the way they treat you. The only people who tease me more than my friends here would be the people in South Africa. They're like, Jan, no, we can't do that. And then they do it anyway. They're warm, they're wonderful, and they're eager to see their children have the opportunities that we want ours to have.
For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.